The Money Show with Bruce Whitfield is brought to you by Absa CIB, working with clients to detect shifts in the market and identify new opportunities in the non-bank financial institution sector. The bravery to imagine, that's Africanacity. Absa is a registered FSP.
Well, it's been a long time coming, and Renergen announcing today that its Virginia Gas Project, which is based in the Free State, of course, in the old Free State goldfields, is operational. It makes it South Africa's first commercial liquefied natural gas station. Stefano Morani is the chief executive of Renergen and on the line to us from Johannesburg this evening. When you say the gas, the operation is operational? That's the word I was looking for, Stefano. What is that exactly? Does that mean? What are you producing, and how much of it?
So, good evening to you and the listeners. What that means is that we've got gas coming from the well. We then transmit those through our reticulation network, through basically low pressure pipes to the plant, and then we purify that gas and we turn it into liquid at -162°C. And we've now started putting it into tanks so that we can transport it to our customers and sell it to them.
Excellent news. The helium production, which is what a lot of the excitement around Renergen was, isn't yet happening, is it?
So that is, it's a staged process. It's probably a week to 2 weeks max, the process chain. The LNG is the dangerous stuff because that's the flammable stuff. So everyone's pretty nervous around the LNG. Now that the LNG is working, the only remaining gases are non-combustible. So now that we know that the LNG part is working, now it's a case of just making sure that the turbines are all wired up correctly. And with the turbines being wired up correctly, we test them, turn them on, and then the helium turns into liquid as well.
Okay, and that is a week or 10 days from now. How long has it been? Was it since you made that discovery of the richness of the deposit? People had looked at the gas reserves in those old Free State goldfields before, but because of a quirk of the way in which they were collecting the gas and storing the gas in leaky bottles, by the time they were getting the bottles to Joburg, the concentration of the deposit wasn't really worth exploiting. You stumbled across this deposit and went, actually, there is a richness to this deposit which makes it amongst the best in the world. How long has it been since then?
So, Bruce, and you summarize it nicely in your book as well. Thank you for that, by the way. I like to refer to this as the 10-year overnight success because it literally, Nick and I have been on this journey for 10 years.
10 years, and today is the first day that you get production of liquid natural gas. At what point are you becoming commercially viable? Certainly, you've got the market's imagination. We've seen a good valuation put upon Renergen. We've seen, of course, government begin to take a stake, and the Central Energy Fund has taken a 10% stake. They've invested R1 billion in you. This is a bet in the future of energy and cleaner energy. At what point do you become commercially viable, do you think?
So the point behind phase one, no one was going to lend money or invest in us building phase one unless phase one was commercially viable. So, you know, as it stands right now, the plant is operational. We've got a few months to ramp up to full capacity. But, you know, as near as dawn, we're now commercially viable. Now it's obviously focusing on getting the phase two project, which is a much bigger project and the main event, getting that up and running, or at least funded so that we can commence construction on that. But phase one wipes its face.
Okay, phase one is up and running. Phase two, what are the time frames on that?
So we're anticipating, we're still working through the debt process. Obviously, there's been a lot of indicative soft commitments by numerous investors and lenders, et cetera, and the like. Now we're working towards the start of the first quarter next year when we'll expect to see some people putting pen to paper on a number of these commitments. And then we're obviously still running the process on optimizing the CapEx bill for the second phase. So, you know, we've given conservative estimates. Obviously, we'll try and hold people's feet to the fire and get those numbers down. And then, you know, we anticipate that we'll probably be breaking ground towards the middle of the year next year for a turn on in 2025.
Sure. This nothing happens quickly. The your customers, who is going to be the first recipient of the first shipment of liquefied natural gas from your plant?
So the very, very first customer in South Africa to receive commercial LNG from any operation is probably going to be Ceramic Industries.
Okay.
Just around the corner. The other interesting little tidbit that I learned today from one of the market participants was as a result of what we did on Friday by turning on the plant, what we produced on Friday means that South Africa as a country pipped Mozambique to the post in terms of commercial LNG, which I think is a pretty cool kudos for the country.
Yeah, well, I mean, Mozambique's been at the gas game for far longer than we have, of course. And so, yes, it's a nice victory to have. When you've got the helium being turned into liquid and then being bottled, where is that helium going to go?
That will be going overseas. Some of it may remain behind. Let's put it into context. Phase one will probably produce 1.5 times South Africa's entire consumption. So the good news for South Africa is that we're never going to have helium constraints again. Obviously, it would be better if South Africa did more along the lines of beneficiation and higher technology so that we consume more locally. But, I mean, yeah, that's just a function of where our economy is at the moment.
Other than making my voice sound funny if I inhaled it, what application have we got in South Africa for helium that, you know, is being exploited elsewhere that we're not doing here?
So a lot of what we do is underwater breathing for the oil and gas industry. It's purging for laboratory situations. And MRI. MRI is a very big one in South Africa. That's probably the single biggest user in our country. Areas where I do believe that South Africa should be focusing its attention on for helium, first and foremost, is in the semiconductor space. The one of the primary reasons behind the semiconductor shortage globally is because for the last 2 years there have just been massive helium shortages. And to my mind, it just makes perfect sense, particularly with the current geopolitical ongoings around concerns with semiconductor manufacturing and where it's located. South Africa would be an ideal location. It's incredibly high altitude. The air is very dry around the Free State, and you could literally have a helium pipeline right into a semiconductor factory. But then aside from that, there's also areas of aerospace. Imagine for a second, SpaceX decides that it's going to launch and deploy cargo into Africa. In order for the rocket to be able to take off again, it's going to A, need a launch pad, B, need an inordinate amount of helium to take off. Why not put a launch pad here? Just putting it out there.
We'll ask Elon. Thank you, Stefano Morani, the chief executive at Renergen this evening.
The Money Show with Bruce Whitfield was brought to you by Absa CIB. Get all the information on the non-bank financial institutions trends in Africa on the Absa Insight Series podcast. That's Africanacity. Absa is a registered FSP.